All right, good to see everybody from all over the world. So we will start by chanting Jai Radhamadhava. We're ready, got everything set up. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari, Gopi Janavallabha Kiribadadhari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiribara Haudi, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari, Gopi Janavallabha Kiribadadhati, Gopi Janavallabha Kiribadadhati, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Manachari, Yamuna Tira Manachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatikacharya also Tela Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosari Srila Prabhupada Gijai ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Gijaya, Nantakoti Vaishnava, Vrindi Gijaya, Namacharya, Srila Vilas Thakur Gijaya, Param Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Garadha, Shri Vasati Gaur, Bhakta Vrindi Gijaya, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopinath, Shyam Kun Radha Kunda, Giri Gover, Dan Gijaya, Vrindavanam Gijaya, Maturanam Gijaya, Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimandilasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Buddhle, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nipasesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So Omagana Timidanda Shaganan Janau Shalakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, seem to have a lot of people here today. Okay, so we're going to continue with our study of the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, and we're on text 30 today. And as I mentioned before, the ninth chapter has so many verses that are important to learn. It might actually be important or good to learn the whole chapter by heart. So here's text 30, which is very important, another very important verse, which Prabhupada would often quote, and we'll recite it. Abhichet su duracharo bhajate amam ananyabhak sarareva samantavya samyagvav vyavasito isaha. Api even chet if su duracharaha, one committing the most abominable actions, Vajate is engaged in devotional service, mam, unto me. Ananyabhat, without deviation, sadhu, a saint, eva, certainly, saha, he. Mantavya is to be considered, samyat, completely, vyavasataha, situated in determination, he, certainly, saha, he. So here's a controversial statement by Krishna. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Let me explain this, how Prabhupada did, and then we'll get to the purport in a second. Prabhupada said, this does not excuse abominable actions. However, this verse refers to abominable actions. Boy, abominable. Let's describe like what it means, abominable. Not the abominable snowman. The abominable action means something like deviating from Krishna consciousness or doing something that's vikarmic or horrible. And Prabhupada explained that in this particular context, the verse is referring to an accidental deviation. Accidental. For example, let's say someone is a good devotee and he just is driving by Pizza Hut and he can't, somehow or other, you know, he gets struck with this intense desire and he goes out and purchases a pizza with anchovies on it. And I won't tell you what anchovies are. Anyway, let's say he doesn't. And so that's pretty bad to eat something with fish on it, or whatever anchovies are. Fish, I think. And so, oh my God, it's accidental. He repents. Repent, repent, and you'll be saved. Anyway, he repents from the action. You know, it's an accidental thing. Or if he's, let's say, preaching in the university, and he walks into someone's dormitory room to preach and distribute Prabhupada's books, and they offer him a toke on a marijuana cigarette, and he takes a little toke, and then he remembers, oh my God, I just deviated. And he repents. So that's the point. So, you know, accidents. Accidents will happen. Actually, Prabhupada talked about these accidents in terms of American baseball. He said, in American baseball, you have the restrikes, and you are out. You know, one strike, let's say you do something accidentally, and you say, Krishna, I made a mistake. Another strike, Krishna made a mistake. Third strike, Krishna says, it ain't a mistake anymore. So the word, Prabhupada explains, sudurat chadaha, used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional, and the other one is constitutional. As for protecting the body or body by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. In other words, things we have to do in this material world just to maintain the body. It's conditional. It's like, you know, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to eat. All those things are conditional. They're based upon us being conditioned by the body. Constitution means what is our ultimate constitution, which is part and parcel of Krishna. Okay. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position and they are technically called devotional service. Now in the conditioned state, that means before we become higher devotees, sometimes devotional service and conditional service in relation with the body will parallel one another. What's an example? Eating prasadam. Gotta eat. Eating prasadam is a parallel. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. Oh my God. Opposed. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious and he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. I mean, for example, let's say he has a job in a supermarket and he has to transport or sell meat. Let's say he works as a cash register at the cash register. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commit some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically, but such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. And that's how Prabhupada dealt with devotees who fell down. The devotees would come before Prabhupada feeling very repentant and guilty. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, you just engage in devotional service. I was listening to memory of my godbrother Madhavisha, who passed away, but Madhavisha left his ashram, and he got married. And Prabhupada, you know, he's going to see Prabhupada for the first time, it was in India, and Prabhupada was so happy to see him, and Prabhupada actually even asked, where's your wife? You know, I'd like to see your wife. How is she doing? So Prabhupada, he was just so compassionate. He never just like threw someone out. He never rejected anyone. Unless they were offensive, that's another thing. But people would deviate and Prabhupada would say, you know, just come back, just pick up where you were, just be situated properly, make sure your needs are met, and be happy in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was just like our perfect father. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. Prabhupada would get very angry when some devotee deviated from the ideal path. Another devotee might broadcast the information. Of course, in those days, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have the internet, Facebook. So they just broadcast, they picked up their phone, or picked up their whatever they picked up, and they broadcast the information. Prabhupada was more angry with the devotee who had broadcast the information. He said, you'll make it very difficult or even impossible for that person to come back. So we are interested in saving people, bringing people to Krishna. We're not interested in rejecting people because they have some fault. It's like Jesus Christ, for example. There was this prostitute, and in those days they used to stone the prostitute. That doesn't mean the prostitute got stoned. They used to throw stones at the prostitute as a punishment and kill the prostitute. And Jesus Christ stopped them. And he said, he who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. And, of course, everybody walked away at that particular point. So, and then he said to the lady, sin no more. And she became a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I assume went back to home, back to Godhead. So, Prabhupada said, explain in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. So it's just like learning to walk in the beginning. You know, one may stumble. So let's say the mother is watching the kid learn to walk. You know, dun, dun, boom, 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 on the floor. And the mother says, ah, get out of here. You'll never learn to walk. You're hopeless. You're useless. Of course, if the mother says that, that has a psychological impact on the child, so the child will never be able to walk properly for their whole life. So the parents have to be very careful what they tell their children. You know, if they tell their children, you are stupid, the child will most likely take that as an instruction, you know, subconsciously, and act stupidly. And just like when I was young, you know, I would lose things. My mother one time said, if your head wasn't screwed onto your body, you would lose it too. And so, you know, I still have that tendency to misplace things. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness as engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's the main thing, the chanting. Whatever happens, don't give up the chant of your mind. Disturb, chant more. If you're feeling sick, chant more. If you're in anxiety, chant. If you're not in anxiety, chant. If you're in love, chant. That's a problem. Chanting's not a problem. So anyway, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he's found to have fallen. The word sutter, eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavyaha is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In fact, it's mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that one should not criticize a devotee for accidental fall downs, for past karma, for present, let's say, evidence of his past karma, like ugliness or something like that, or legal problems. It's very, very dangerous. One should assume the best with a devotee. Of course, if someone continues doing something very nefarious, I mean extremely nefarious, then they may have to be rejected from the society of devotees. You know, if someone's a premeditated pervert or something like that, you know, you reject them. You don't just say, well, you're considered saintly. You're not considered saintly. You're rascal at that point. But if some accidental thing that happens, then that can be excused. But continual? No way. So in the Nrsimha Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati satcha haravananya chita vishammalino pi virajate manushaha nahi shasya kalusha chavikarachit timiraparavavatam upaiti chandraha. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities. These activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Accidental, accidental, accidental. Remember that word. Not premeditated. That's different than accidental. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. War. So as soon as one declares war, then Maya comes in very special ways with our attachments. You know, whether they're attachments to the body, or attachments to things connected to the body, or family attachments, or national attachments, or political attachments, or whatever attachments. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. Sometimes a fall down may last a whole lifetime. Like in the case of Ajamil, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story is told that Ajamil was a really good devotee, really, as we say, pukka, clean, great wife, great family, Brahmin, etc., like that. And then he accidentally fell down. You know, he meditated on illicit life, and he had some relationship throughout his good wife, and had a very low class wife to not wife or girlfriend, whatever it was, and practically abused his parents. So many things happened. It was a fall down. And then at the end of his life, his previous devotional service was remembered, and he was able to chant the names of God because he had named one of his kids Narayan, which is the name of God. And he was saved from the Yamadutas, and eventually he got a chance to perform more devotional service, and to make a long story short, he went back to home, back to Godhead. So Krishna's very kind. So even a fall down may last this whole lifetime, and then in the next lifetime, you say, oh my God. I may give you an example. Okay. So let's say someone, whoops, my chair's going down. Let's say someone falls down and he's in Vrindavan. So what happens? Next life, he gets to be a monkey in Vrindavan. Or pig. That's why there's so many monkeys and pigs in Vrindavan. And some of them in their last life were sannyasis. So I always refer to them as my dear monkey Maharaj. When I'm talking to them. No, I don't. No. So, you know, it lasts a long time. But after that birth as monkeys, then again, devotional service. So it happens. And just like, all right, the other example is Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj fell down from devotional service. Didn't engage in any abominable activity. No. But he actually deviated from his sadhana, his practice. And as a result, he became attached to a deer, and then he became a deer in his next life, and he really felt bad about that as a deer. And that deer hung out with the sages, didn't hang out with the devotees. I mean, it did hang out with the devotees, didn't hang out with the other deer. And eventually, he took birth again as Jatabharta, and then he went back to home, back to Godhead. So, you don't lose anything. As we heard previously in the Gita, swapamapyasya-dharma-shatrayate-mahatabhayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. So, the main thing is, don't make offenses against devotees. That is the heaviest thing. More heavy than an accidental fall down, becoming abominable, making offense against another devotee. So, no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not, you know, because someone could say, here, I'm doing abominable things, but it says in the verse, despite the most abominable action, if I'm rightly situated, then I'm considered saintly. I'm a saint. You hear this sometimes. Someone says, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, but they're engaged in abominable activities. If you're engaged in abominable activities, how can you say that you're a disciple? A disciple means discipline. You know, you listen to the guru. It doesn't mean you took your initiation and therefore, you know, whatever. You're still considered a disciple. If he does not improve his character by devotional service, then it's to be understood that he is not a high devotee. That means a low devotee. So next verse actually is connected with this particular verse. Shipram bhavati dharamatma sashvas chanti nigachati hontiya pratijani hi nami bhakta vinashati. Very important verse which Prabhupada would quote the last two lines of this verse. Hontiya pratijani hi nami bhakta vinashati. O Kuntiya, you should declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. So this word by word. Shipram, very soon, Bhavati becomes Dharmatma, righteous, Sashvat Shantim, lasting peace. Nigachati attains Kunti, O son of Kunti, Pratijanihi, declare not, never may my Vaktaha devotee Parashati perishes. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace, O son of Kunti. Declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Now, there's an interesting point here. Prabhupada explains that Krishna asks Arjuna to declare boldly that Krishna's devotee never perishes. And there's a reason that Krishna didn't say, you know, I'm declaring it. He asked Arjuna to do it because Krishna is a little tricky sometimes, or many times, or often. You know, Krishna will say something, do something else, especially if you read the Mahabharata, you'll see how tricky Krishna is, extremely tricky. So many people don't trust him. Hey, look, Krishna, how can I trust you? I mean, you're God, you can do anything you want. However, one of God's qualities, as we mentioned previously, is he's controlled by his devotees. The devotee is able to control God by the devotee's devotion. And so, if a devotee promises it, and we also mention this in regard to Prabhupada's promise to us, okay? Prabhupada said, if we stick to this Krishna consciousness throughout our whole lives, even if we start late, I mean, I started late, I started at 20. That's really late. I should have started at before zero. How do you start before zero? If you had a Krishna conscious mother, you can do that because you're listening to Krishna Katha while you're in the womb, like Shukadeva Goswami did. So anyway, so whatever stage you start at, if you continue, Prabhupada has given us this guarantee that you will become Krishna conscious. At least take birth where Krishna's pastimes are going on. So Prabhupada has said it, Krishna will make it true. This should not be misunderstood. In the seventh chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. There's that heavy statement again, which we explained, which bears explanation again. And Prabhupada is actually indirectly making reference to this verse in the Bhagavatam. Yashasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana savar gunas gunas tatra samasate sura harabha bhakta shukuto mahagune guna amanavrite nasati davato bahi. The one who is a devotee automatically has all good qualities. One who is not a devotee, his good qualities are simply on the mental platform because of the modes of nature. We explain the modes of nature because the modes of nature are always in flux. But for a devotee, the devotee is not under the modes of nature. That means a devotee goes beyond the modes of nature and situated in Brahman, or spirituality. So one who is beyond the modes of nature, then their qualities are completely stable from not only in this lifetime, but lifetime after lifetime, or wherever they go, they are stable and predictable. And one who is not a devotee, then some good qualities may remain for some time, but then, or they may be relative good qualities. Someone may be a great humanitarian, but then maybe killing so many animals, eating animals, hunting or something like that. So you have to see, you know, whether their good qualities are just relative according to the society they're in, or their absolute good qualities. I mean, absolute good quality means that you're interested in people's welfare and you try to understand, ascertain, what is the best thing you can do for people spiritually. Not simply prolong their material life, but actually give them an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, and help them understand what is the purpose of this life. So that's the explanation of that statement, which we've given before. The question remains then, how can a person engage in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the seventh chapter, remember, Namam duskrutina mudha prabhajantena naradama. The four types of people. Ayagratityana sama bhavanashrita. Those who are really low class. Namam duskrutina mudha prabhajante naradama. Maya pratyagana. Those who are just like, the mudha, of course, those who just like think the work is all in all, just like work like asses, and then get drunk at night. Or Maya Pritagana, those whose knowledge is stolen by intelligence, or Suram Bhavamashrita, those who are definitely atheists. That's the description of the seventh chapter, which some of you may remember. Who never come to devotional service of the Lord have no good qualifications as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the verse I just quoted. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional activities, those nine kinds are, you know, like hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrendering everything to the Supreme Personality. Anyway, this is called Navabhakti. Engage in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. That's what the chanting does, too. Cheto Dharpana Marsham. It cleanses the heart, the spiritual heart, not this blood thing that's over there. And then you're able to see, cleanses the mirror of the heart, is the description. And when you cleanse a mirror, you can see the mirror. You can see everything on the other side of the mirror. He puts the personality of God within his heart, and sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature, because the thought of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. The name of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. When you say Krishna, he's there. When I think of Krishna stealing butter and feeding to the monkeys, Krishna is right there in my consciousness. He's fully there. Continuous, and Krishna is the most pure. Om Apavadrapa Vitrava Sarvavashtam Gatopiva Yaksmarai Pundarikaksham Sabhaya Avyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu. If one thinks of Krishna, remembers Krishna, then it doesn't matter whether one is coming from a pure or impure background, one will become pure. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. Now, we're going to explain this. That's called prayaschitta. So it's like atonement. So sometimes, let's say the Catholic Church, they would wear these hair shirts or torturing themselves or, what is it called? Self-flagellation. Yeah, actually, there was a movie that depicted that. It's called Da Vinci Code. I don't recommend you watch it. It's kind of a depressing movie, but it's interesting. So this person was taking the like a whip or chain or like nails on it or something, like, and just whipping himself. Bah, I am so evil. Bah, bah. I deserve this. Bah, bah. Don't do that. That's demoniac, actually. And you don't purify yourself by doing that. Because you still have the same inclinations. So when we talked about inclinations, we talked about kuta and bija. Kuta is the inclination to do something, and bija is the actual seed of a particular type of activity. So that point is brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning of the sixth canto. At the end of the fifth canto, the fifth canto comes before the sixth, in case you didn't know that. At the end of the fifth canto, you find all the descriptions of all these different punishments people have to undergo if they are bad. And the people who give the punishments are the Yama Dutas. And so Parikshit Maharaj, who is listening to the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, feels bad about this. You know, why? How can people be freed from these punishments or freed from their bad karma? And Shukadeva, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, gives him an answer that is not true. to test his disciple. I mean, sometimes the guru will test the disciple and say something that's not true, just to see if the disciple catches it. And so the guru says that Shukadeva Goswami says that to purify oneself, one should undergo what's described here, ritualistic process known as prayaschitta or atonement. Now, just like sleep on a bed of nails or something like that. And so Parikshit Maharaj's student objects to that. He says, Guru Maharaj ain't true, because someone can atone for his sins and then he does the same thing again. Just like confession. Someone confesses, he has every intention of not doing the same thing, but then he does it because he finds himself in bad association. Just like people who take drugs, sometimes they have intention, I'm never going to take drugs again, I'm going to be clean from now on. And then they get back in the same association with the same people and they do it again. So what did they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So just simply doing some austerity or atonement or torturing yourself, I'm only going to eat apples for the next 2 months as an atonement. I've seen people do that. It just makes you crazy, bitter and crazy. And it doesn't purify you because the seed of desire, the inclination, the kuta, is always there in your heart. So the only purification we have is when Krishna is in your heart and he purifies it. And the only way to do that is to chant his names in Kali Yuga. So we don't believe in ritualistic process. If you have some difficulty in Krishna consciousness, just pick yourself up and chant Hare Krishna. Remember that. But here there is no such condition because the purifying process is already there in the heart of a devotee. Due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of God, is what Prabhupada said. Therefore, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. If you do something, just chant, you know. But don't do it again. Don't think the chanting is going to excuse you, because that is not... that is not an accident. That is premeditated. And that is an offense against chanting. This will protect the devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. So, if you find yourself in a situation where you could be attracted to doing something that is a no-no, then you chant more enthusiastically. You chant in your mind, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you find yourself in a situation where you might be attracted. Like you walk by a bar if you happen to have some yoga, if you happen to have some liquor addiction. I mean, I can never understand why people like liquor. It's just such an abominable, and even smells bad. How do I know what it smells like? Because I went to the university. And on Sunday morning, I'd walk out of my dormitory room and most of the other residents there were lying in the hall or lying halfway in their rooms and the place stunk. And that's what you experience in the university. And even I visited some fraternities, and it was all based on drinking, carousing, illicit sex. I mean, come on. What are we teaching? You're supposed to be character building, not character destroying at the universities. Horrible. And when I went, it wasn't so bad as it is today. Today it's like the French Quarter in New Orleans to go to the university. Actually worse. Worse. And there's ghosts everywhere. I mean, like when I go to the French Quarter, of course I don't go to enjoy. We go there sometimes on Harinam. We have our Rath Yatra, which we can't have this year, unfortunately. But we had our Rath Yatra right through the French Quarter. It's one of the most sinful places in this world. And you can actually see the ghosts hanging from the trees. Because when people die under the influence of intoxication, they become ghosts. Okay, next verse on a positive bent. Mami partha vyapashrita yepishu papayone hachvio vaishastata shudras tepiyanti param gatim. Mom of me, he certainly, partho son of pritta, of vyapashrita taking shelter, yea, those, api, also shu, papayoneha, born of a lower family, shriya, women, vaisha, mercantile people, tata, also shudra, lower class men, te, api, even they, yanti, go, param, to the supreme gatim destination. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, or women, or vices, or merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So in other words, it doesn't matter what sort of birth you have. I mean, sometimes people discriminate. They say that a man's birth is higher than a woman's birth. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It depends whether you're a devotee or not. If you're not a devotee, if it's not a devotee birth, your birth is no good qualities. What did we just hear from the Bhagavatam? So even if you have a very low birth, and those of us in the Western world, and most people in India now too, it's a pretty low birth. And just the fact that you're born is low. That means you're sinful. Why were you born in this world? Unless you're a nitya, siddha devotee, sent down from the spiritual world, it's low. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there's no distinction between lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In fact, says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kiva Vipra Kivanyasi Sudrakena Na Ye Krishna Tabla Veda Se Guru Hoy. That if one knows the science of Krishna and is practicing and a good example, it doesn't matter. He can be a Vipra, like a Brahmin family, or a Shudra, low class family. He can become Guru. He can become, or she can become Guru. It doesn't matter. He, she, doesn't matter. We're not the body, Prabhu, or Prabhu, as the case may be. It really doesn't matter. And if someone's not a devotee, Muchi hoy, Hare Krishna Bhaja. If one is not a devotee, there's no good qualities. Sorry about that, Prabhu. And if one is a devotee, it doesn't matter. All good qualities are manifest. Even if there's some accidental difficulty. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, it is stated that even the lowest, who are called chandalas, dog eaters. Now you may say, yuck, dog eaters. But I got news for you. Cow eaters are worse than dog eaters. Yes. Because we don't prescribe dog eating either. It's just horrible. And cow eaters, more horrible. But you think, as Americans, Westerners, or even Indians, that dog eaters are, and cows. You know, I've seen people from India make so many excuses why they can eat cows. They said, well, we don't eat cows in India, but we eat cows in America because they're not the same breeds. Ridiculous. So, chandalas are low, they're low birth, but cow eaters is even a lower birth. Can be purified by, so even cow eaters can be purified if they give it up. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man taking shelter of the pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance. All you have to do is take shelter. Just like, you know, love Prabhupada, love the pure devotee, and that's it. This is so simple. Just bhakti. prema bhakti yoha hoite avidya vinashayate. That prema bhakti emanates from the pure devotee, especially the words of the pure devotee, avidya vinashayate, and avidya or ignorance becomes dissipated. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, brahmanas, the mode of passion, kshatriyas, or administrators, and the mode of ignorance, shudras, or workers. Then, lower than them are the chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. And we are actually born in even sinfuler families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life by the pure devotee's mercy. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. As indicated here by the word yapa shucha, one has to take shelter completely of Krishna, then one can become much greater than great jnanis, that means intelligent people, and yogis, simply by taking shelter of Krishna, which means taking shelter of Krishna's pure devotee. It's such a wonderful verse here. So there's hope for everyone. So, let's see, next we have time. Kim punarabhamana punya bhakta rajasayastata anicham asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Kim, how much? Punaha, again. Brahmanaha, brahmanas. Punya, righteous. Bhakta, devotees. Raja, rishya. Saintly kings. Tata, also. Anicham, temporary. Asukam, full of miseries. Lokam, planet. Imam, this. Prapya, gaining. Vajasva, be engaged in loving service. Mam, unto me. Translation. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary, miserable, material world, engage in loving service to me. Okay. So that means people who have a birth where they're already in the mode of goodness. You know, it's definitely an advantage. But ultimately, it doesn't matter how you get there. You're there. Whether you get there from the Shudra or Chandala platform, or you get there from the Brahmin platform, it doesn't matter. In this material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, anicham asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and full of miseries. Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false, but we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false. It is temporary. There's a difference between temporary and false. It's like a soap bubble. It's not false, it's just temporary. This world is temporary, but there is another world which is eternal. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. And as Prabhupada said, Arjuna was able to understand the whole Bhagavad Gita in 40 minutes. With us, it's 40 years. No one should remain in this temporary world, full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom, that means the heart, of the Supreme Personality Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men and women can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. Wow. I don't think we'll have time to do this verse. This is such an important verse. And so we will leave this next verse for tomorrow. So we did up to 33 today. Okay. So let us take some questions from our loyal audience. Give me a second. I have to take you off of mute. One second. Okay. Okay, who wants to ask a question? If you asked a question before, like Versant, you have to wait a little bit. to allow other people to ask questions. Okay, it's your opportunity. Anything, everything you wanted to know about Krishna consciousness, but were afraid to ask.
Gurudev, I had a question.
Okay, what's the question?
How come we only get 3 strikes?
How can you get 3 strikes? But this is baseball. This is America. You know, how many, maybe I can ask a question. How many strikes do you get in cricket?
I'm not sure, actually.
Does anybody know? I don't know. Anyway, so I guess if you are in a different country where you get more strikes, you get... So maybe you should migrate somewhere else. So... The point being, if you continue to do the same thing over and over again, it shows a lack of sincerity and a lack of really wanting to be Krishna conscious. It's not that, you know, 3 strikes are just like, are the rule. It's an indication of something. A continual, deliberate deviation indicates you're not really sincere. That's all. That's why Prabhupada said 3 strikes. Now, it's not necessarily literal or to be taken literally. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like you have your automatic zoom on the camera.
Yeah.
I tried it on mine, but it didn't work so well. You kept zooming in on my pet squirrels instead of me. So that was So, all right. So give someone else an opportunity to ask questions. Charna, you want to ask a question? Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna to all. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask something that is bothering me so sometime. Okay. When somebody's chanting 20, 30 years, and after so much time, so long time, we see that this person doesn't change his heart or her heart. What is the point? Is this person doesn't do this properly, sincerely? Or what is the problem when somebody is not changing the heart or character or something like that?
That's a good question. Usually the point is that they're not chanting properly. They're chanting ritualistically, just trying to get their rounds done. They may be committing offenses. They may be, let's say, holding on to material attachments. They may be committing offenses against Vaishnavas. I mean, there's a variety of reasons. But it is true. One can just be spinning his wheels. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the following example. He said, once upon a time there was a marriage party, and the marriage party had to go for the marriage to cross a river. And so to cross the river, you know, people had to row the boat. It's a big boat. You know, there's a big boat. In India they have these big boats. But it was a lot of people rowing. So the marriage party went to sleep one night, thinking they were going to wake up on the other side of the river the next morning. And so they woke up and they discovered the boat had not moved 1 meter, even though everybody was rowing the whole night. And the answer was that they discovered that the anchor was there. You know, the anchor of material attachment. So the reason that metaphor is there, analogy actually, is that sometimes we leave our anchor in and we're just chanting ritualistically and we're not getting anywhere. Of course, it's never useless to chant. But at the same time, if one should be chanting in the proper mood, the proper intention, like Lord Chaitanya gives us this mood, What is it? Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishme Bhambudo Kripya Tapa Padabankaja Stita Duli Sadrasam Vachintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, somehow or other I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please save me and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So it depends on your mood. You know, your intention, your mood, your bhav. You know, if you're chanting Krishna help, Krishna help, Krishna will help. And if you're chanting Krishna's name and saying, Krishna, don't help, you know, I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to do it. And, you know, I like eating prasadam, you know, that's all right, but you know, but I hate those other devotees, you know, they're just a bunch of nonsense, then you won't make any progress. That's true. You may not make progress. I mean, a little bit of progress, but not much progress after 30 years in the Hare Krishna movement. So it's from the heart. Prabhupada said you have to do devotional service from the subtle body, from the heart and the mind. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindhya. Yes, good question. Who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Oh, yes, Sumuk.
Yes. One small question. We have senior devotees. We deal with senior devotees who have taken initiation from me. They are senior to me in age. They are senior to me. And sometimes we notice these senior devotees are criticizing other devotees. And then they are, sometimes they say good things, sometimes they say bad things. We just can't avoid the association. So in that case, when we listen to them, what should we do? We just can't say, hey, stay away from me. Well, they're senior, so I cannot say, hey, stay away from me. So
no, don't do any politics. Just tolerate. All you can do is tolerate. Just tolerate. Be a good example. You're a senior devotee now. I think you were. Yeah, you were one of the first disciples I initiated there on TV. So you're a senior. You're an old senior devotee. So you set a good example. And just pray for everybody else. But you can't change people. Example is better than precept. So you set a good example. Don't use their example to be a nonsense. All right? Okay. More questions. More.
It's Citralika here.
Okay. Who's this? Oh, yeah. Citralika. Yeah. Yeah.
Please accept my
invitation. Buenos dias, senora.
Buenas tardes now for me.
Buenas tardes, señora.
Buenas tardes, Hare Krishna to everyone. Gurudev, I have a question, and it is, how do we know if we have accepted Krishna at heart?
How do we know?
Yes, we're like...
What do you dream about at night?
Is it like a symptom?
Yeah. Like if you're just dreaming about, I don't know what else, dreaming about going bungee jumping at night or something like that, and you're not dreaming about Krishna, it's like where the mind goes. When you're not, let's say if you just let the mind go, and if the mind goes to Krishna, that means you've accepted Krishna. If the mind goes to Maya, that means you've accepted something else.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Gurudev.
But the mind can also go to Krishna's service. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, for example, right now we have some construction going on in the temple. And if I stop this class, then I may think about the construction going on in the temple. My mind will go there. So that's Krishna's service. But if my mind goes back to my childhood pastimes or, you know, things that have nothing to do with relationship with Krishna, that means got some challenges there. It's not an all or nothing thing, but it means, you know, I'm really not quite there. Okay?
Thank you.
Good question. So, one more question from our...
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna Joe. Good to see you.
Haribo. Lovely class again, Maharaj.
Thank you.
You talked at the beginning about, and I know, you know, maybe we should learn all the shlokas from the whole ninth chapter. You know, and I have been spending time trying to learn shlokas, like rope learning, you know, I'm a slow learner, but trying to learn them. And I get there, and then after, you know, a week or not very long, quite quickly, I forget them if I'm not doing them regularly. And they just go. So if, like, I just don't have the memory, is it worth spending the time trying to learn them?
Well, there's a method of learning them that's actually different than just sitting down and learning them. I mean, practically everybody has a good memory. It's a question of how you memorize things. You know, some people are visual. You probably heard this before. Some people are visual. Some people are auditory. Some people are tactile. You understand? Tactile. And so the way I used to remember verses is that I would pick one verse and apply it in my life or talk to people that particular day about that verse. I wouldn't just sit down. I mean, it's like torture just sitting down, just learning, at least for me, just learning the words and everything like that. So I would, I mean, just like you have Kondaya Pratijaniyam Name Bhakta Pranashati, is one of the statements we had today. In spite of the most abominable action, my devotee is considered saintly because he's rightly situated. Then, because I tend to be visual, so I'll actually visualize, if you actually visualize the meaning of that verse, you know, visualize the meaning of the verse. And actually, I'll learn the individual words, too. Kuntiya, O son of Kunti. Like that. Vajani, declare it boldly. And then, anyway, I use my visual sense to try to understand it. Because if I simply look at the words and try to memorize it, and then I'll preach it too to people or speak it to people. Because when, as you know, the best way of learning is to teach.
Yeah. So you're saying it's worth trying to find a way that works to try and remember.
Explain it or to see how this verse applies in the world or mention it to other people. Actually, most of the verses I remember or know, I made little index cards out of them, and I took them when I went on Sankirtan, which is the old days when I used to be a devotee. So when I went on Sankirtan, I would actually keep the card in front of me and every few minutes just refer to it and then preach about that. And then I learned the verses. And then another thing is when I listened to Prabhupada, I heard Prabhupada using these same verses over and over again. The verses I learned are the ones that Prabhupada regularly recited. I mean, sometimes in these classes, like the Bhakti Shastri classes, I know Champaka's listening, they have you learning verses that Prabhupada really didn't use at all. So I usually pick the verses that Prabhupada keeps using in the purports over and over and over again. Oh, Champaka has someone who's interfering. Didn't like my comment about Bhakti Shastri. Anyway, so that's how I learn verses.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
But don't worry about it. I mean, it's everybody, if they have the right methodology, can remember things. Almost everybody. You know, unless people have some brain damage, they can remember things. It's just a question of how they remember. Everybody has different methods of learning things. And usually, if emotions are connected with the learning process, then you're more apt to learn. You know, if you're just what do they say, blasé. Of course, some of you may not know what that word means. If you're just neutral about something, you're not going to learn it. It has to be something that really has some meaning to you. So you connect with emotion.
Or, ones that are good to learn are ones that resonate with you. Shlokas that, you know, you connect with.
You resonate, yeah. So learn the ones that resonate with you. Don't try to learn a lot. I mean, but the ninth chapter just strikes me as having so many shlokas that I memorized. and so many shlokas that Prabhupada actually utilized. But just to learn shlokas, I've seen like sometimes in the Gurukula, the kids just learn all these shlokas and they just repeat them like robots. And they don't really learn the meaning. They can repeat the translation verbatim, you know, word for word, but they don't really learn the meaning. So when I recite a shloka, I very rarely will repeat the word-by-word translation. I'll paraphrase it. You know, I find paraphrasing is much more important than actually verbatim. Verbatim means like word-by-word, exactly repeating the things. It's very hard because then it's to me, it's like just robotic repetition. And then you forget it very... So I paraphrase. When I learn a verse, I actually paraphrase the verse. You know, I may reverse the order or something like that, and then I can learn it much more quickly. Okay. Let's see what time it is. Okay, I think it's time to go. So we want to thank you all for joining us, and this time seems to work pretty well for everybody, rather than the 1 hour later, because we're having much more people. Seems like everybody likes it, except for some people in America. But America, oh, even Rishikesh has joined us. I don't know about America anymore, you know. Yeah, move to Fiji or something. Move to Fiji, where everything is peaceful and you have a great prime minister. Even chanting, the prime minister, even you say his name, you make spiritual progress. He's Rama. One of the only countries in the world where the prime minister has a spiritual name. Such a nice country. Anyways, not that I just like the beaches, I like the devotees there too. Okay, on that happy note, we will see everybody tomorrow. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.